My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his words for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and he died for me. Lord, thank you for this Sunday evening, for your word, for the truth that is sown into every word, phrase, a punctuation mark. It's there. Lord, help us to thank you for the opportunity to take it seriously. And this is such a great section tonight. Thank you. It's kind of the other side, and such a good thing. Thank you for that. So bless this time together. Well, did you catch the second word? Faith. Faith. My faith. My faith has found a resting place. Well, that is the theme of the night. In the middle of what I call a change in strategy. A change in strategy tonight. And I am really excited about this. This is so different from what I've been used to hearing. The way that I'm used to hearing Hebrews 11 is not that. This is not that at all. And because for many people, this is a favorite chapter. People love Hebrews 11. I mean, there's everything to love about it. And that's where we are tonight. And don't you know? That's, to me, that's the beauty of Bible Hour teaching. It is a shock to you. I personally think this is the best way to teach the Bible and to learn from the Bible, because you learn God's mindset. You learn how he progresses through it. He's changing all the time. And you get to hear and you get to know his son. So there you go. I have 8 left. Here in an hour, there will only be some. So here we go. All of this leads to faith. All right, sentence at the top. The case for faith is made with example after example from the Old Testament saints who stood for God in righteousness and faith amid circumstances and unbelief, and long before the promised Christ arrived with the final once for all sin remedy. Now that's a good sentence. That is a good sentence. There we go. For 38 years, from 30 to 68-ish, this is your timeline for tonight. That's the extent. Remember, what is A.D. 30? A.D. 30, the most important year in the history of the world. Christ's third year of ministry. His crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and the establishment of the church, all in 30 A.D. Biggest, most important year in the history of the world. And now it's 38 years later, 68-ish, this letter written to the Hebrews, is the name of it, I guess it was written to the Hebrews. Been through that. I suppose, wherever they are, this book written to the Hebrews is written. For 38 years, and now 10 Hebrews chapters, Hebrews 10, and everything between 30 AD, which is positioned at the end of the four Gospels, that's 30 AD. And now Hebrews 10, 18 books in between the Gospels and Hebrews 10. God, the Holy Spirit, has has very effectively contrasted, has very effectively contrasted now out of date and inferior law sacrifice system. The Holy Spirit has been very effective in contrasting the inferior law against the superior Christ grace solution. This sums it all up, the first 10 verses of chapter 10 of Hebrews. The old system, the old system under the law of Moses, only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. 10:2. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. This just makes sense. This is sensible writing. Verse 3, but instead those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That's why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, no, you didn't want animal sacrifices and offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. Verse 6, you were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings, and I said, well, I've come to do your will. Verse 7, as it's written about me in the scriptures. Christ said, you didn't want animal sacrifices, verse 8, or sin offerings, or burnt offerings, or other offerings. Verse 9, he repeats, I've come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all time. It says it all right there. Canceling the first covenant in order to put into effect a far better one meant doing away with the system of sacrifice contained in the ceremonial law. It did not mean eliminating God's moral law. The ceremonial law prepared people for Christ. With Christ's death and resurrection, that system was no longer needed. For 38 years, since 30, now we're about 68, the Holy Spirit has effectively contrasted the inferior law sacrifice system against the superior Christ grace, but with limited success. I'm saying there's been limited success. Remember, I read this last time. McGee, these folks were at a strategic point in history. The day before the crucifixion of Jesus, they had gone to the temple sacrifices in obedience to God's command. But now it was wrong for them to do it. Why? Because Jesus had become that sacrifice once and for all. Today, if you offer a bloody sacrifice, you're sacrificing a friend, the Lord Jesus, because you would be infirm. When he died 2,000 years ago, it was to obey. It would mean you not have faith in his atonement. We either crucify or we crown the Lord Jesus our lives. But it is for 38 years, old routine, old commitments, old traditions die hard. Of course they do. And honestly, these are all words, it probably doesn't help that God originated both. It probably doesn't help. I mean, both the law and sacrifices, just read Leviticus and Numbers. And everything else after that, the rest of the Old Testament, God originated all that. Then read the Gospels, the account of Jesus. They're not the same. The two are not the same. It doesn't help that God originated both realities. McGee says, if you want to return to the system and put yourself under the Ten Commandments, you had better build a tabernacle for yourself and start with goats and sheep, because you're going to need them. But the fact is, Christ finished all that. That's the first 10 verses of chapter 10. We are now on a different day, a higher plane. God wants to bring joy in your life. The law never promised joy. God, the Holy Spirit, has very effectively contrasted the now out-of-date and inferior law sacrifice system against the superior Christ grace solution. McGee, again, the sacrifices would not have been repeated if they had been complete. They go through the Day of Atonement every year when Jesus cried out, Telestai, fish. It was finished. And the next year there was no need for the Day of Atonement. 38 years of this at least. To go through a sacrifice today is to cut underfoot the blood of Jesus. If the Jewish readers of this book were to return to the old system, they would be implying that this sacrifice wasn't enough to forgive their sins. Adding anything to his sacrifice, taking anything from it, denies its validity. Any system to gain salvation through good deeds is essentially rejecting the significance of Christ's death and spurning the Holy Spirit's work. So that's the deal. It is time. We've spent 38 years, we'll say, on this, and we've certainly spent 10 Hebrews chapters. It's time for a fresh strategy. The best way to get the attention of Old Testament thinkers is with the Old Testament. Right? With the Old Testament. In chapter 10 alone, there are 8 Old Testament references. 8 Old Testament references. How about number 8? Let's go with number 8. Go to the end of Hebrews 10. Verse 37. For in just a while the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. That is Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, that's the 8 of 8 Old Testament references. The best way to get the attention of Old Testament thinkers is with the Old Testament. So Habakkuk works perfectly at the end of this chapter as we make the transition to a fresh strategy. Verse 9, we are not like those who turn away from God, their own destruction. We are the faithful ones who will be saved. Verse 38, my righteous ones will live by faith. End of 39, we are the faithful ones. As opposed to, end of 38, I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. At the beginning of 39, we are not those who turn away from God. That is contrast. their own destruction. Those people versus the faithful ones.
Specifically, we're talking the best way to get the attention of Old Testament thinkers is with the Old Testament references. In 10, specifically, Old Testament heroes. Old Testament heroes. Because the fact is, nowhere in the New Testament is there such a display of Old Testament heroes as in Hebrews 11. 16 individuals and more. Just take a look at your top section. The top line of the top section. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the Israelites, Rahab, King Samson, David. That's not all of them. I just ran out of left to right room. Name. And then there's the ones who aren't named. Look at 11:33. By faith, these people overthrew them, ruled with justice, received God who promised them, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle, put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. Others were tortured, refusing to turn from God. They placed their hope in a better life. Verse 36, some were jeered at, backs cut open with whips, others chained in prisons, some died by stoning, sawed in half, killed with sword. They were too good, 38, for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holding ground. There's all those people. There's nobody named there. That's not the 16. All those. 16 individuals and more recounted across 11. We had 8 books. In 10, all of these are references between Hebrews 11 and the Old Testament. The 11 books, Genesis, Exodus, John, Judges, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, Daniel, and Hosea. I'm telling you, it is time for a fresh strategy. See, fresh here, strategy there. That's a program. Setting aside law versus grace, within all of this, for a moment, the Holy Spirit offers faith. The Holy Spirit offers faith. 27 mentions in Hebrews 11. Moving from argument to instruction. The author cites many examples of those who have demonstrated faith. Living by faith is far better than merely fulfilling rituals and rules. This is a challenge for us to grow faith and live in obedience to God. And what exactly is it? Talk about the contrast between Hebrews 1:1 and 10:36. The word faith is used 5 times. That's 27. 27 times now. That's the strategy. What is it? GodQuestions.org. What is my faith? Faith resides at the core of Christianity and the Christian life. While the Bible has much to say about it, faith is a challenging concept to define. A biblical definition of faith reaches beyond mere belief. Simple acknowledgement that God exists. It goes beyond that. into the realm of trust. Genuine faith involves abandoning all human reliance on self-efforts, abandoning and placing total dependence on God's character, His actions, promises, revealed in His Word. The first line of these paragraphs, faith has many dimensions. Faith begins with God. Faith is and always has been the only means of salvation. It is by faith that people receive God's grace. Faith results in numerous blessings and benefits. Faith is not just a mental attitude. Last paragraph. A biblical concept of faith includes believing that God exists and that He is wholly trustworthy. So much so that we base our lives on Him and on His Word. Doing what it says, no matter what our physical eyes tell us, through faith in Jesus we obtain the victory that has overcome the world. It's time for a fresh strategy. We're going to set this argument aside for a moment and we're going to talk about faith. Within the people in the days of old, the heroes, the Old Testament heroes. So look at the first verse, chapter 11. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. So it's defined in the verse of chapter 11. J. Vernon McGee, chapter 11, also called by many the catalog of the heroes of faith. What faith has done in the lives of women in all ages, under all circumstances, from the very date of the Garden of Eden down to the present moment. And he says, it is so easy to make the Christian life a series of rules. And love rules and regulations. It's so easy and simple to obey rules. But in this chapter, we find the people who went an altogether different route. They walk by faith, and that's what God wants us to do today. Unbelief is the worst sin anyone can commit. God has a remedy for every sin except the state of unbelief. If you continue in a state of unbelief, God has no remedy for that at all. Faith is confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people days of old earned a good reputation. The people in days of old. Heroes. Faith. These Old Testament worthies believed God, and for them it was not a leap in the dark, and it was not a hope so. Their faith rested on evidence. The problem with many of us today is that crisis comes. We ought to be able to rest in God and lay hold of Him. We are not able to do so. Because we haven't been doing it all along, it's such a new experience, it's difficult to do. If you were to trust God when the sun is shining, it is easier to trust Him on the day when there are dark and lowering clouds in the sky and you're in one of life's storms. It's time for a fresh strategy, faith. With the people in the days of old heroes. This is all a critical distinction in the eyes of God. A marked distinction with the works and the law and the sacrifices. This is faith. God wants us today not only to be saved by faith, but to walk in faith. Christ died to save us. We look back and faith him. Now we walk daily by faith. We look up to him, the living Christ. This right down to where the rubber meets the road. Are you going shopping today? Are you going to work? Are you going to play golf?
Sorry, Eric, I just saw you.
Are you in school? Are you going to a social engagement? Go by faith. In Jesus, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's how God wants us to live this life. So that's where we are. It's a change of strategy.
And it starts with perhaps your greatest test of faith, which is preaching itself.
And believing that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Look at verse 3. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. God called the universe into existence out of nothing. He declared that it was to be, and it was. Our faith is in the God who created the entire universe by his word. God's word has all power. When he speaks, listen and respond. McGee says it this way: there are two explanations for the origin of this universe in which we live. One is speculation, and the other is revelation. By faith, we accept revelation. Not the book of, the revelation of what he says. Also, by faith, you accept speculation. It's one or the other. Speculation has many theories. Many of them have been abandoned. Right now, the theory is evolution. It is the best that the unbeliever can hold on to. But it is mere speculation, and they have to have a whole faith to go along with it. The worlds were framed by the word of God. What we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Verse 3. This could be your greatest testing. McGee says, actually, this could read the ages were set up by the word of God. Last night's full moon, did you see it? The corn moon. We went to see Craters of the Moon National Monument in Idaho. We were there about 10 days ago. It's fantastic. Craters of the Moon National Monument. Did you even know that they existed? Idaho.
We're supposed to see it, Idaho.
It's not. Craters of the Moon. I made it the verse of the month for the little kids. They're not little. Welcome. Send postcards with the verse from Psalm, the moon, and reminded them today that magnificent full moon is part of one of the things that God did. This is not a lesson on creation, okay? But let's get intellectual.
Let's get intellectual. Faith is the new strategy. And maybe it starts with your greatest test of faith, creation itself, believing that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. X. Nihilo creation.
X nihilo creation. Do you want X nihilo? I don't even know. Is that Greek or whatever it is? Out of nothing, something. That's what that is. X nihiloex. N-I-H-I-L-O.
Folks, that sort of creation, which is what we have, is entirely counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense to us. Because we live our lives with everything that we can see, touch. It's entirely intuitive. But it lays the groundwork. This belief in a creator lays the groundwork for all other faith. And it's anchored in creator love. So it starts back. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. What we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. When you and I come to the Word of God, we either accept or we reject God's statement concerning the origin of the universe. That statement is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is revelation. Either you believe God or you go by speculation. Don't tell me that evolution is scientific. It's not. You either believe God, revelation, or you believe speculation. Faith must be anchored in something. So you have to have faith in one or the other. Faith means that you have a solid basis for the origin of the universe. I won't change my theory. As scientific knowledge grows, it has been in operation a long time. God created the heaven and the earth. That's how this starts. All right, we've waited long enough. Let's get into this. What exactly is the Hall of Faith? The term Hall of Faith is never used in the Bible. This chapter 11 is the Hall of Faith. The term Hall of Faith is never used in the Bible. It's a term that modern interpreters have used to describe Hebrews 11. A takeoff on the modern idea of a Hall of Fame. Most professional sports have a Hall of Fame. Once a professional athlete has retired, the biggest honor that he bestowed is to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose should be Baseball Hall of Fame.
But he lied.
Doesn't matter. They all lie. They're all flawed. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. It's an absolute travesty, and I hope Trump fixes it. Third text. We will go back to Cooper as soon as they put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Only the very best are selected. The Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11 lists of people in the Old Testament who were outstanding, should be remembered because of their faith in God. The readers of Hebrews are encouraged to imitate the faith of these men and women of the past. These are Old Testament heroes. Old Testament heroes. More than 16 of them. The accomplishments of faith are impressive and well regarded. Hebrews 11, verse 4, it was by faith that Abel a more acceptable offering. Verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without God. Verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. Verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home. Verse 11, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Verse 17, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac. It was by faith, 20, that Isaac promised blessings for the future. Verse 21, it was by faith that Jacob, the golden dime, blessed Joseph's sons. Verse 22, by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. Verse 23, by faith that Moses' parents hid him.
Verse 24, it was by faith that Moses grew up and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 29, it was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea. Verse 31, it was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed. How much more do I need to say about the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets? And then there's all that I read. 33, the unnamed. These are impressive and they're well regarded. We are going to see this illustrated and consider the lives of these people. McGee says, it is not some jewel like a diamond which you put in a case and you look at it. That is the reason I do not like to call the chapter a catalog of the heroes of faith, which everybody else does. These men and women who got right down to the nitty-gritty life. Faith was operative in their lives. Faith is not something which you put on display in a showcase. It rests on the word of God. I've got 16 more J. Vernon McGee pages to read about all these saints. Who do you want to hear about?
How about the new millennial saint?
Abel brought a lamb and slew it. If you had been there, you might have asked, Brother Abel, why are you bringing a lamb? Abel would have said, God commanded it. Do you think the lamb takes away your sin? Abel would have said, no. I just told you that God commanded us to bring it. He said to my mother, there's one coming who's going to be a savior, and that's the person to whom this lamb points. I'm coming by faith, looking to the time when a deliverer and a savior will come. God would come by every afternoon and say to Enoch, Enoch, would you like to take a walk with me? Enoch would say, yes, I'd like to take a walk with you, God. So every day, God would come by Enoch's house, and Enoch would go walking with God. One day, God came by and said, Enoch, let's take a long walk with you. So they started out, and Enoch got out and took his lunch, and they started walking. And they walked, and finally it got late. Enoch said, you know what, it's late. I need to get home. Maybe we need to start. And God said, you know, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are to this. Let's just go there. Enoch went home with God. No one's family, no one outside his family believed. His family believed because they knew the witness of Noah. Noah prepared an ark, saving of his family. What a wonderful thing that is. Abraham is the sequestration of faith. The Lord Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he laughed. Abraham worshiped God. That led to obedience of God. He worshiped God, but he obeyed God by faith. Sarah, God gave her the strength and the power to believe him. Sarah had a little named Isaac. When she was past age, she judged God faithful who had promised. Moses had faith to obey God. God said to him, and Moses did it. This is exemplified in the life of this man. He forsook the pleasures of Egypt and came back to deliver his people. This is faith to obey God. Rahab, wonder of faith. We see that in this lost world, God does not view one group of people as so much better than another group of people. He just sees all as sinners. And when anyone will turn to him, God will save him. And that's what happened to Rahab. the Gentile prophets, wonderful he is. Ted Lynn, 10 years ago this week, said we're going to teach through the Bible in chronological order, where one day of a yearly reading then becomes one week and one lesson. This week, 10 years ago, September 15, 2015, you'll never finish it. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. After tonight, 7. 10 years ago this week. There you go. Now, and I'm not myself in the category of those people. I just couldn't help. But hold on. I'm a guy. Hold on. Hold on. Where's the rest of these stories here? Where's the rest of these stories? They're equally reported in the Old Testament shortcomings. Where is that? Equally reported shortcomings, which I compiled in what I'll call an insufficient top section. So look at top section, top of the lesson, what I call a generous application of Old Testament faith. And I'm saying God's generous. In other words, he's taking all the negatives of the Hebrew heroes. So, you know, here you go. So what do we have? Well, Abel and Cain, what do we have? We got the first murder. With Enoch, he was just an enigma. I don't think we understand all. Noah was found naked and drunk. Abraham, of course, had the Hagar affair. Is this in Hebrews 11? No. Sarah was a lack doubter. Isaac was easily fooled. Jacob was a deceiver. Moses, remember when he didn't struck the rock, he didn't speak to it. You won't go in there. And he didn't. The Israelites, who were talked up in 11, complainers. Rahab, a Gentile prostitute. He tested God. Samson, of course, all I needed to put there was Delilah. There she is. Right? Samson's in here. They, of course, have Bathsheba and Merck and her. I mean, where is all that? Where is all of that? The writer, this has got questions. The writer lists several people in the Old Testament who accomplished great things by faith. He calls on the readers to take their faith. Those included are not perfect. Many had stunning failures. And some had serious ongoing character defects. However, each of them came to a turning point where he or she chose to trust God rather than place confidence in what he or she did. Where's the rest of the stories? The shortcomings, they're ignored or they're forgotten. They're either ignored or they're forgotten by the time you get to Hebrews 11. The writer to the Hebrews mentions Gideon, Barak, and Samson. Maybe I don't know that I would have put Samson on this list. Samson was a true failure as far as his service, but he believed God. And there was a time when the Spirit of God came upon him and delivered Israel. He never completed the job.
This is big. Their equally reported shortcomings are ignored in Hebrews 11, as will yours.
As will yours. Wow. Forgiveness is an integral part of salvation. When Jesus forgives us our sins, trespasses, iniquities, transgressions are erased. That's what this is. Wipe off the record. There's a record of this in Hebrews 11. When Jesus said it's finished, it's paid for in full. When God forgives our sins, we're free. We no longer live under debt. Our sins are wiped out. God will never hold sin against us. Hallelujah. And this, Hebrews 11, is the best example of this. It's the best example because I'm looking for the rest of the story, Paul Harvey, and I don't see it.
Equally important is the Holy Spirit's point. And not one of these heroes, nor you, saw their faith to its natural conclusion. Conclusion. Not one of them
saw their faith out to their natural conclusion. Hebrews 11, verse 13, about Abraham. All these people died still believing what God had promised. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance, and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. That's what we are. Verse 8, if they had longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, 11:10. A heavenly homeland. That's why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. And then look at 9. 11:39, all these people earned a good reputation because of it, yet none of them received all that God had promised. McGee, what promise is it that they did not receive? What promise is it that they did not receive? God made many promises, and many of them received promises that he made to them. But the promise is his promise that he will raise them up and that there will be a kingdom established on earth. They have not received that promise yet because God is still today calling a people out of his name, calling out a people to his name. And as it says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Why the last verse, chapter 11? God had something better in mind for us. 68 A.D. passed. So that they would not these heroes, would not reach perfection without us.
Leading me to the conclusion that God's last chapter has not yet been written. Now, I'd really like to be done right here. I'd really like to be done and leave it at that. Because after all, this is all so thorough. This is all so convincing. This is all so tidy.
I could have gone on. I just have words.
It's so tidy. But the converse, is still true.
Remember, the chapter, verse 38, I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. 39, we're not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. McGee says this, God has us in mind. They without us should not be made perfect. God is patiently calling people out of this world and that is the church. Until the church is complete, he's just going to keep calling them out. If you are honest and willing to put away the sin in your life and turn to Jesus Christ and trust him, I would like to talk to you 3 years from today. Because nobody would need to prove anything to you. You would know that your faith worked. There are multitudes who can say they know faith works. It is operative. It is real. It is genuine. As the song says, go ask Moses. If you need another witness from another time and place, if you need a testimony of God's power and his grace, go ask Moses, or Abraham, or Sarah, or Enoch, or Abel, or Samson. We're changing the strategy here from the law sacrifice system against the superior Christ to faith. That's what we're doing. And here, the converse is still true. The Holy Spirit defends the Son. He defends the Son. How people insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit. The sacrifice of Christ is tied with the Holy Spirit. To scorn Christ's sacrifice is to insult and disdain the Holy Spirit. Arrogantly reject him. The Holy Spirit knows.
The Holy Spirit knows that it is a terrible. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
God's power is awesome. His punishment, terrible. These words give us a glimpse into the holiness of God. Verse 31. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He is sovereign. His power is limited. He'll do what he promises. His judgment is for those who have rejected his mercy. Falling into his hands for those people will be dreadful. No excuses. It will be too late to accept Christ's love and salvation. But if you're saved through his grace, you have nothing to do. King James, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of your God. Hebrews 10:31. This is the converse of faith. The opposite of faith. It's the tune to which the world is marching. This is a very interesting verse, says McGee. The verse is for Christians and unbelievers. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God wants to put his hand on you for good. But sometimes he puts a heavy hand on his children, takes them to the woodshed. Maybe you've been there. David. God forced David to confess his sin, deal with it. God's hand of chastening, though, is altogether different from his hand of judgment. God is going to judge sin, and that is something that needs to be emphasized in our day. There's a time coming when the cup of wrath will be filled up. It's filling up today. God is in no hurry to move. He is not willing to inherit. But the cup of judgment is filled up, and it's a bitter cup. The judgment ahead of everyone who has come underfoot the Son of God. So the choice is clearly made. We pattern ourselves after the flawed, but faithful, we're flawed. Heroes of the Old Testament and the New. Or we can be stubborn believers in institutional religion, which is law. Everybody needs to hear this. Thank you for coming. Okay, we will make next Sunday for Oak Park's hymns thing, and we'll finish Hebrews in 2 weeks. And the Bible itself over the next seven. So it's one more lesson in Hebrews, one lesson of all three of the John books, five lessons in, and we will finish on November 2nd. The only downside of that is a time change that weekend, but it's the first day of time change. God willing. So there is a new final. This is the last one. Bible hour, what I call the final word. It's a new order, so give it if you can. We'll get to the finish. Okay. The theme tonight has been faith. Faith, gotta say faith is the victory. And along the hills of life, he Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vain below, let all our strength be heard. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Oh, that's so true. There's no way you can read Hebrews 11 and you think about the world that those saints encountered, and then you have the Holy Spirit summarize it in 11, and they overcame the world. They weren't perfect. That's maybe the best part. But thank you, Lord, for that. You know how important faith is to you. We need no further than that in place. Help this, Lord, to build our faith. Realize that that's the sort of day you want us to live, to walk through. It's a day of faith. Whatever you have in mind, sure, go do it. Realize that you're facing it. Indeed. So thank you for that. That's the week to come. We look forward, or the 2 weeks to come, and we look forward to resuming this in a couple of weeks. Bless each of these people.